His name is above all names. And your name is enshrouded by His name. He covers this day with garments of righteousness, cloaks of mercy, clarity of mind, and an energized body and spirit, that we might know Him. I know you join me in yearning for the more of Jesus. So that we will know how to love one another as He loves us. Thanks be to God. After last night, I'm convinced that I'm living proof that the foolish things of this world do confound the wise. There's some crazy people around here. Makes me feel very much at home. All I can think about, Ray Stevens wrote a song, and it says, I'm schizophrenic, and so am I. Oh, y'all are clever and so gifted, and that was so marvelous. Thank you. But Anders, I've got a bone to pick with you, boy. He's more me than me. This American clergyman of the 19th century, Mr. Muchmore, isn't that a marvelous name, Mr. Muchmore, said, next to a good soul-stirring prayer is a good laugh. And all of life is as unto the Lord. Your work, your play, stunt night, your business, all becomes an altar where you worship the Lord. Pleasant sights and good reports give happiness and health. Pleasant sights and good reports give happiness and health. And I've got a good report for you today. As we walk back into the future, know that the blood of Christ and holy love covers your past, enfolds you in the present, and has covered the path that is set before you. Viktor Frankl, the renowned German psychiatrist who was so brutally tortured in the concentration camps during the World War II, made a wonderful statement. Though he was tormented and really maimed for life, but not in spirit, but in body, he said, no one needs to be a victim of his or her biography. And there's one thing tormentors cannot take from you, and that is your ability to think. And your ability to choose. I'll repeat, the foolish things of this world confound the wise. But that doesn't mean we have to stay fools. What is a fool? A fool is one who chooses to live beneath his privilege as an heir to the kingdom. In behavior, in mentality, in spirit, in relationship. When we live beneath our privilege, then what the love of Jesus enables us to be and to become, we are fools. But we don't have to remain fools. The flow of the kingdom, as you are well aware, is from the supernatural to the natural order. And I'll repeat, in my take, my feel, my experience is that kingdom living is not about dying and go to heaven, though that's wonderful. I mean, going to heaven. I don't know about the dying. I ain't into that. It doesn't suit me. But that we learn to grasp the eternal moments and experience the wedding of heaven and earth on the inside of us, that marriage of the natural and supernatural be made one within us and expressed without. And that's how the kingdom, I think, is being established on earth. Whatever God does will not be separated from you. And I said 2 years ago, and I'll say it again, you know how natural his birth was, and only the few recognized him as the newborn king, the Messiah. And I wonder if his second coming will be something that natural, that you just have to develop eyes to recognize his presence. There's nothing magical in our walk, not even Plymouth Rock. There's no magic potion there. But there's tremendous, tremendous power. The devil has force and no power. Only the Lord Jesus Christ has power. And all power is in his hands. And we must remember that. Those who are suffering setbacks economically, those who are fearful with what's happening in our government, those who are fearful of being left alone in our maturity. That sounds so much better than old age. And let our confidence be established in him. Don't let your expectations be in people, not even Christian people. We Christians, our intent is turned towards God and his ways. But from time to time, I've been known to miss the mark. And our faith and our expectation must be established in God and not in human beings. And even though Jesus has his own feet, his own nail-scarred hands, and he's perfectly capable of expressing himself without you, he chooses to be identified with us and manifest himself in and through and as you. Thanks be to God. So let that memory of how we walked with Jesus in heaven before we came through the womb be awakened within us. There's harmony in heaven. And that harmony is being established this day as we set our sights on him. So as the Lord Jesus comes and pervades not only our personal history, but our national history, our global history, and makes the crooked places straight and the wandering fold come back to center, we find that we truly cannot do anything apart that's worthwhile and that has eternal value apart from Jesus. In our frailty, Jesus is our strength. When we're helpless, Jesus is mighty. When we're floundering and indecisive, Jesus is our stabilizer. If you're a very indecisive person, that's a wonderful way to control your environment and people around you. And learn to make a decision and not fear making a wrong one. It's better to make a wrong decision than no decision. Indifference is a tremendous enemy to your growth. Because it's easier for God to guide a bicycle in motion that makes a wrong turn than to guide a bicycle that's stationary. Trust me. So learn to make a decision one way or the other. Ask unto the Lord, and he will direct your destination. Just like he did the pilgrims. They set out for Virginia, landed up here in Massachusetts. They had one destination in mind, and God changed their plans. Isn't that wonderful? And the same power and love is available to us today. And I loved that pilgrim last night and the Indians. That was great. When you're sick, Jesus is our help. Mentally, emotionally, relationally. When you're disturbed and confused, Jesus is our clarity, our serenity. And when you're fragmented, Jesus is our completion. It's the exchanged life. We give him our weakness and deficits, and he gives us the fullness of his presence. You're going to hang on to the crumbs or take hold of the fresh loaf provided for you this day, straight from the hand of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He made us for the purpose of living as temples of the Holy Spirit, not shacks, but temples of the Holy Spirit, to glorify him and to bless everyone. And I want to say something about the human body. You know, everything in the spirit has a physical manifestation. We talk about the new birth. There's physical birth. We talk about the seed of Abraham. Well, life begins with a seed in the physical body. And I've often heard the body, the human body, referred to sort of like a trash receptacle, and that it's sort of meaningless. It just sort of carries your spirit around. But the Bible says, as I just said, you are a temple. And the body is precious. Now, Stan Carter, He wants to be cremated when he dies. Now, I hope I go first, because first of all, I ain't burning him up. I just can't. I told his son he could handle it, but I'm not honoring that myself. And I don't want to be widowed. That's the other thing. But I hope we live to be 140, and then I'll go first. But you know, I just want to insert something here. I've literally been in a fight for my physical life since 1999. And then you have pockets of time where there's you level off. But it took 3 years to heal from the heart failure. And on and on. So I want to tell you something. This week, I haven't been fighting for my life. There's a settling. I've been relaxing in living. And I attribute that to the power of healing love that's transmitted from you all, from the hand of God through you to me. And I thank you. Secondly, I told you I don't sleep at night. And it's a bear. Because most people want to go to lunch at noon and not at 6 at night. And I have slept every night. Not a beat missed. Isn't that wonderful? I haven't known that in a long time. And I feel rested. I always feel nervous before I have to produce, so that's not unusual. But you know, I asked my daddy that one time, and he said yes. He said he always a little nervous, and Beverly Seals was nervous before she had to sing. So I'm in good company. Once I'm in the flow, I'm okay. It's just getting there. You know what I mean? So yes, I give thanks for the way Jesus is manifesting himself in beautiful and great ways. And we'll continue. We'll continue. Don't leave this place and fall into despair and old patterns. The old is to pass away and take on the new. We give up the old and yield to the new. That's the exchanged life with Jesus. And we are fulfilled in this life to the degree that we live in union with Jesus. We are fulfilled in this life to the degree that we live in union with Jesus. He who has ears, draw from the well where living water overflows. About 3 weeks ago, my Uncle Vernon Tyson called. I told you he has really stepped up the plate. Y'all are blessed. There's my talk. It's gone. He called and mentioned a woman named Hannah. And he just spoke of her so adoringly. I said, I want to get acquainted with Hannah. Where do I go? And he told me the book of Samuel. Well, the good Methodist that I was, and well, you know, I'm whatever I married. I'm Episcopalian now. I had been Greek Orthodox, just whatever you marry, it doesn't matter. So I could never be Baptist. Too many rules. Excuse me. And so when we hung up, I mean, I'd never read Samuel in my life till 3 weeks ago. And man, it's that thick. It's thick as the whole Bible. So I got about halfway through it, but I pretty much got the scoop. So I'm going to give you a very condensed version of what I learned. Hannah, as you know, because you're well-versed, was a prophet. And she was the wife of a man whose name I can't pronounce. And he had a second wife whose name I can't pronounce. Well, his second wife bore children by him. And Hannah's womb was sealed. But every year, the two wives went with their husband and the children to a feast where they celebrated the children and sacrificed a lamb. And it was a feast. But the second wife would make fun of Hannah for not bearing babies. And Hannah was broken. So at the feast, she went off to the side, you know, down by Lake Winnipesaukee, and was quietly bearing her gut to God and praying for a child. Well, this old sage, seer they called him in those days, a prophet named Eli, came up on her and thought she was having a hangover. And saw her talking to herself, see. And she said, "Oh, sir, please don't think I'm a drunk. I'm praying to God." And Eli said, "Whatever is your supplication, the Lord God is going to honor it. It shall be." Well, Hannah got pregnant, and she had this little boy named Samuel. And she told her husband she was not taking him to the feast days until she had weaned him. And but she committed him to God. And then when he was 3 years old, she took him to that same prophet that prophesied over Eli and presented her son and said, "I want you to raise my son and train him. He belongs to God." Now, can you imagine that mother heart? But she did go see him every year and bring him clothes and chocolates and footballs. And so, of course, Samuel lived in Eli's house. And one night, Samuel shows up in Eli's room while they're sleeping and woke him up. And Eli said, "What's wrong, boy?" And he said, "Did you call me?" He said, "No, I didn't. Go back to bed." Well, that happened 3 times. So after the 3rd time, Eli told Samuel, said, "Now listen, if you hear your name, Samuel, called again in the night, it's God. And you just say, 'Yes, Lord, I'm listening.'" Listen, people, I just told you a spiritual principle. "Yes, Lord, I'm listening." So it happened the 4th time. And Samuel said, "Yes, Lord, I'm listening." And from there, Samuel grew up to be a mighty man of God, very influential in politics and wars. And then, I guess, the best of all was he brought David to Saul's court to play the harp to Saul, to help Saul deal with his mental illness and rages. And then from there, you know, David became king. And it's from the tribe of the King David that Jesus is born. So yes, Samuel, all he said was, "Yes, I'm listening." And from that response to the call from within that his ear heard, a child was born who taketh away the sins of the world and who loves the brokenhearted and who soothes the frustrated mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful story? Like I said, it's very condensed. So my sheep know my voice. I think we have to practice attuning our ears to his voice and to the songs of angels. But I can assure you, God has a... I got chastised for not staying near this thing. God has a well-trained ear to your voice. Have no fear. He has a well-trained ear. Jack over here is a piano tuner. He has a well-trained ear and a skill. And when the piano's tuned, every note has to be in just right relationship to the other. And so it is when we hear God. He puts us in right relationship with all that concerns us. Isn't that beautiful? Gosh, that was nice to hear. Amen. Makes me feel like I'm in North Carolina. The word of God has been scattered here. Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, this is what I want. Thank you, baby. So, in our walk, there'll be bumpy roads. For the road to wholeness is often bumpy. But don't run. And don't get in a critical spirit. It will eat you up. We're not called to criticize. We're called to inspire. Called to inspire. Talking about the wedding of heaven and earth, which is eternal, not temporal. I told you 2 years ago, but I'll tell again because it's funny. I was in this horrific marriage in Dallas, Texas. And what's interesting is, let's see, Diamond is 83 now. And he has the most magnificent memories of our relationship. Isn't that marvelous? And I just go along with it. I'm glad that's his memory. It's the grace of God. And that's redemption. And I don't live back there in the pain, but I still have my brain. And but I don't live there emotionally, you know. And we're pals. But he always sends condolences to Stan. But love, that perfect love that will never let us go, is not created. Love is eternal. God is love. Both proper noun and active verb. Love is a proper noun and an active verb. God is love. And I told you I keep notes, you know, in fragments of paper and boxes on my bed. Well, one day, in fact, I wrote down the date, February the 6th, 2001, my daddy called and he was laughing. And he said, I had the strangest dream last night. Well, when my daddy dreamed, it was like reading the Old Testament, you know. you wanted to capture it. So I got my pen out and started writing. And this is what he said. This was his dream. Love is eternal. Love manifests itself at different levels. Love applied to the past transmits forgiving grace. Remembering the past in love is to forgive all. Two, love applied to the present is joyous gratitude and glad, obedient response right here and now. And love applied to the future is divine expectation. Isn't that powerful? Let your expectation be from the Lord. He has equipped you and made you for the eternal now. Now, if you're like me, sometimes we just have to draw on emergency grace and moxie. Adler. What? Tell me your son's name. Anders. He educated me to moxie this week, and my, what a kick. Not quite as good as tobacco, but I have to put in a cue for mistake. But that was quite a kick. So I thought, yeah, I need moxie and the grace of God and emergency grace. So know that everything that is inherent in the heart of God is yours for the asking. And I believe all that is inherent in the heart of God is yours for the asking. I'd like to close we're talking about a fool is one who lives beneath his privilege. We don't ask for the things that are inherent in the heart of God. And then we live beneath our privilege as heirs of the King. And the Lord says, in this life, in Him, have two goals. Wisdom, that is knowing and doing right. That means doing the highest you know in your relationship to Jesus. And also to have common sense. Wisdom and common sense. And don't let them slip away. For they fill you with living energy and are a feather in your cap. They keep you safe from defeat and disaster and from stumbling off the trail. And you can sleep without fear when you're guided by love, wisdom, and common sense, which is completed in the man God named Jesus on the inside of you. The song I want to leave with you is, because it's so personal between you and me. Love is wonderful the second time around. Thank you for having us. We love you. Don't we stand? And beautiful day to you. That's it, folks. Ciao.